Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Do you love church? Do you love church, golf clap church, or do you love church like God is better than the Cardinals church? Just asking. Okay. That's what I thought. You know, I love church, but how many of you had like an obstacle to get here today? The outfit didn't work. You couldn't find your shoe. Where are my car keys? The kids won't behave. Oh my gosh, I spilled my coffee. Anybody have any obstacles? All campuses. Let's see. Yeah, obstacles just happen to jump up in the way. When we were on vacation last year, David saw somebody jump off of a mountain with a parachute, and the pilot in him looked up in the sky and said, I want to do that. Nicole, whatever we do on vacation next year, make sure I get to do that. And I'm like, okay. And then he doesn't just want to do it himself. He wants me to do it too. I love that man. So I'll do anything for him. So we booked the vacation and we found a place where you can jump off a mountain with a parachute. So we go to do this thing, and the person that they put me with, because there's a pilot, piloting a parachute is kind of a big deal. And so they put me with a pilot, and the problem is I brought a picture to kind of show you what was happening. I am really tall and she was really short. My waistline is here. Her waistline is there. Well, what difference does that make? Well, to get off the ground, what you do is you have to run. And you don't run and jump off like a cliff. And to kind of help you visualize that, I brought a picture of where we ran and jumped from. You run. It's a really steep hill. And they find a flatter part of that really steep hill. If y'all could show that picture. The flatter part of that really steep hill. And you see that guy, he's like almost falling off the hill as he gets going, right? So you're supposed to run off that hill before you hit those trees. Because, you know, if you get too close to those trees, you're like, ooh, ooh, wah, ah, you're trying to get it. Well, no, that's a bad idea. So the problem is, and cameraman, you might want to go wide because I don't want Weldon to miss this. The problem with that is I run like this. And my little short friend, she runs like this. And she says, here's how we go to get off the ground. I'm going to tell you, run, run, run. And you're going to run, and you're going to feel the parachute fill up with air. It's going to pull back on you, and you just run harder. Like, I can do that. Then she says, and whatever you do, don't look at the ground, because that's where you'll end up. Look at the other mountain, and that's where you're going to go. I don't like her. But I'm like, so many spiritual lessons. When you feel the parachute pull back, don't stop. When you don't look down, that's where you end up. I'm like, whoa, she has wisdom, but I still don't like her. So we start running. And she's like, run, run, run. So I'm running. I'm looking up, not looking up, running. But I'm feeling the ground like, and she lied to me. The parachute doesn't pull back on you. The parachute feels like you're in a small car accident. You go, and she's like, run, run, run. I'm like, I'm trying to, but I'm in a back bend, you know? And she's like, run, run, run. And I start running, and all of a sudden, some wind catches us, and we start going right, and we're literally falling on the ground. She goes, abort, abort, abort. So I stop running, and I start falling on the ground. She goes, no, run, run, run. I'm just here to tell you, between the fear and the fact that the CIA is not recruiting me for my cat-like prowess, we ended up on the ground, and I didn't want to do it again. There's always a good reason to stop. There's always a good reason to stop. Well, you see, I can't do that. I'm 5'11". I'm built like a giraffe and as coordinated as a giraffe. I can't. I couldn't. I shouldn't. There's always a good reason to stop. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 22:13 says, hey, there's a lion in the road. Now, wisdom tells you if there is a lion outside your house, stay inside. There's always a good reason to stop. There's a lion in the road. Yeah, you probably couldn't. You probably shouldn't. Then you probably won't. You know, Michael Phelps, the guy with all the gold medals for swimming, he says, you know, if you want to be the best, you got to do things that other people aren't willing to do. You gotta go early. You gotta go hard. You can't give up when you lose. You can't give up when you fall down. You can't give up when you fail. Everybody wants to run when the marriage gets hard. Everybody wants to run when the job gets hard. Everybody wants to run when they've come to church 3 weeks in a row and God hasn't miraculously undone 25 years of the stuff that we've done. Everybody wants to run. How about staying and making it work? The marriage, with the grades, being moral, with the job, losing weight, actually serving at church, getting the promotion. I guarantee you this, if you don't try for it, you're not going to get it. We got to try, try, try. What are you letting? What are you letting stop you? Well, I'm not letting anything stop me. I don't like the way you said that. Oh, well, I didn't. The Bible did. Galatians 6, it says, let us not become weary and doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. If we don't, what's the last two words? Now, see, now y'all are like, well, we're going to talk right now. Okay. No, no, no. If we don't what?
Give up.
Because you're not gonna.
Give up.
Because God has more for you. God has more for you, Weldon. God has more. God is speaking. I tell you right now, this I know. God is pulling on hearts and God is making adjustments and God is igniting things in your spirit during this message. This message isn't a message. This message is a shift in what's happened in your life. You didn't come this far only to get this far. Well, I was on the ground. David was in the air. I had no pressure from him. I could have been like, oh, we tried. It didn't work. Don't you love failing when nobody else sees so you can tell the kind of story you want to tell? most people, they let the mountain stop them. They let the lion stop them. They stop when it looks hard and they fall down one time like I did and they decide not to get up. Doggone it, these were my good genes and I grass stained them. I don't want another grass stain. I might be able to get it out. But on the other side, on the other side. You see, God's calling us to climb obstacles. And he's like, you know, I've got ways I want you to do stuff. Just making sure nobody was mad at me. There's ways that I've created for you to do stuff so it's manageable and you can do it. I'm gonna get way over here out of the light. Y'all are gonna hate me. But if you're gonna come over here and try and do it on your own, we went rowboating on our vacation. We jumped out of a rowboat, swam in the ocean. David gets right back in the rowboat. Me? Okay, I need a workout. Just saying. Doggone it. Okay, there's my workout. God didn't create you to work that hard. He's got an easier way. He's got a way that he's lit up. He's got a planned way. And today I'm going to show you the way, and I'm going to show you the way on purpose because there is a blessing on the other side of that obstacle. He's over there saying, you're going to like this so much. I know what I got for you. It is a relief from what you have, and not a relief from what you have, but it's incredible. So I wanted to show you. I didn't want to leave you in this story. We got up and we went running. And as we ran, we got into the sky. And when we got into the sky, I felt like an eagle. It was beautiful. 20 to 30 minutes of hang time. No motors, just the wind. I believe I could fly. Oh, soaring like with wings like eagles. Matter of fact, I brought you a little video clip of it. If you could turn that on for just 1 second with no... There's us. We are did it the second day. The next day, the guy brought a camera. Smart dude. He charged me $20 for that video. 4,500 feet over the ground. I didn't like it. I was afraid of it. I didn't think I was talented enough to do it, but I liked it. The blessing was so good. I said, I want to do it again tomorrow. I tell you what, when you get over your obstacle, it's going to be so good, Weldon. It's going to be so good online. You're going to want to do it again tomorrow. But you're going to look at folks and you're going to look at folks and be like, yeah, well, you see, you could, I don't know what that is. You're going to look at things and you're going to be like, well, see, the people do it like this, and I tried to do it this way, but it didn't work for me because... You see, it's like the Israelites, they tried. They tried to walk around the mountain, and they walked around the mountain, and they got stuck for 40 years. It did not work for them, so you obviously can't do it that way. Oh, friends, don't look at people's experience. You can't look at people's experience because what they had experienced is because, I'm going to pause and say, they're in the physical and not in the spirit. You don't have a physical problem. If you're a note taker, write this down. You don't have a physical problem. I don't care if it's a tumor. I don't care if it's grade. I don't care if it's depression. I don't care if you're flat broke. I don't care if you don't have a way home. You don't have a problem in the physical. You have a problem in the spirit. The reason I say that is because the spirit controls the physical. Well, how can you say that? Well, because if you go to Genesis 1, the very first verses... People get confused, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? You got to have the chicken to have the egg. You got to have chicken. I don't know how it happens there. What we don't get confused about is which came first, God or light. It says that God was in the darkness. He looked out and didn't want it anymore, so he said light be, and light was. The spirit controlled the physical. The spirit of God said, and I want some mountains, and they were. And he said, I'm going to give borders to the ocean, and it did. And I'll create gravity to keep people on the earth. And the spirit regulates the temperature on the earth, and the spirit keeps the planets aligned. The spirit controls the physical. We don't have a physical problem, we have a spiritual problem. Because when the Israelites walked around the mountain and it didn't work, I'm really glad Joshua didn't let that stop him from walking around Jericho, because all it took was 7 days of walking, one time a day, and by the end of 7 days, he never had to lift a hammer. The walls came a-tumbling down, my friend. Don't look at what happens to people. Listen to the Spirit of God. I want to help you stop tripping over what you're supposed to get victory over. You're looking at what they did, and you're saying, well, it didn't work. It's not working for me this way. God's like, I didn't call you to walk around the mountain. I know you. I know how you are. You're my baby. I watched you. I created you. So with you, I'm going to have you climb on your hands and knees, and it's going to be so easy for you to just come up this way. Somebody else would slide right down, but no, not you. That's how I created you. You see, there's several ways to deal with the mountain. You can move the mountain, like Mark 11:23. We're going to go there in a second. You could climb the mountain like Abraham did. But now he brought his son, his only son, as a human sacrifice. What might God be asking you to be willing to sacrifice to climb the mountain? Heavy question, right? But you can pulverize the mountain. You can pulverize you. You don't have to wait on God. You can pulverize the mountain. Isaiah 41:15 says, behold, God is talking. He says, I have made you. Everybody say, that's me. He says, I have made you a new, sharp, threshing sledge with a double edge. And you, everybody say me. You will thresh the mountain and pulverize them and turn the hills into chaff. Not God, you. Say me. God has made you a molten mountain pulverizer in the spirit. He's given you the spirit to be able to do this. But it's not in the physical. We have a physical problem. We try to fix it in the physical, and then we fail, and then we start over. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and not getting and expecting a different result. Friends, I'm telling you, we don't have a physical problem. We have a spiritual problem. And he doesn't want us to walk in that. He doesn't want it to seem impossible. He doesn't want us to look at life experience. He doesn't want us to look at our experience. Because your friends, they'll tell you, oh, no, I tried, that's impossible. Your parents will tell you it's impossible. Your boss will tell you it's impossible. But I'm just here to tell you, it might be impossible for them, but with God, all things are possible. Can I get a good amen? Move it, pulverize it, sledgehammer it. What is God calling us to? Are we looking at our circumstances? Are we looking at our God? Because if you're a note taker, the thing you're looking at is the thing you have faith in. Well, daddy had a heart attack, mama had a heart attack, and grandpa had a heart attack, and oh, my heart's feeling funny. I'm going to have to cut down. No. You're looking at the heart attack. You have more faith in that than you do in God. We have what we're looking at is what we have faith in. We have to have faith in God because we need weapons in the spirit. Weapons in the spirit, right? Because it's not the physical, it's the spirit. So weapons in the spirit. How do we get weapons of the spirit? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does carnal mean? It means physical. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What does that mean? They're spiritual. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, they are spiritual. That's when I get disheartened, when people come to church for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and then they're like, oh, well, I got soccer, and I got leg, and then we were tired, and then they start, and things start not working. They're like, you know, I don't think that God thing worked anyway. What? No, you got to be close to him. The closer you are to God, the smaller your obstacle gets. The closer you are to God, the smaller the obstacle gets. But when you get away from God and you don't join the iConnect, and you, I don't need growth track, and you know, church, I'm going to miss for a couple weeks and take vacation, but I get that. But you know what I'm saying, amen? Right? You get me? But the closer we get to the obstacle, further away we get from God, the obstacle gets bigger. God doesn't want big obstacles in our lives. He wants us to be able to move mountains. Say, I'm a mountain mover. Look at your neighbor and say, I mean it. Yeah, you are. You're a mountain mover. So how do you move mountains? If you have your Bible today, and I pray that you do, and if you don't, bring your Bible to church. I went Catholic on you. That's me being Catholic. I was raised Catholic. Give me a break. You got to write in it. You got to bring it. You got to read it. If it's electronic, that's okay. But you got to be able to circle stuff and highlight stuff and underline stuff and write stuff down when God pricks your heart about it. Because in 2 years and 5 years, you're going to look back at it. It's going to change your life. You're going to be like, but I've only been saved 6 weeks. Yeah, but in 2 years from now, it's going to affect your life. So Mark 11:22, it's the first of three things. Right in this passage that tells us how to have weapons in the spirit. And the first one says, Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Sounds easy. I don't really know what faith is. Faith is believing. Faith is believing. Are you believing in that problem? Because you're looking at that and it's big. Are you believing in God? What you're looking at, it's what you have faith in. The number one thing he says is have faith in God. And if you go to Ephesians 6, it says, above all, take the shield of faith. No, it doesn't say above all, but it says, take the shield of faith wherewith you can quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Every dart. No matter what he threw at you, it's not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. The shield of faith will quench every fiery dart. So number one is have faith. Everybody say, have faith. Number two, well, just real quick on have faith. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you've been a Christian 40 years and you've been in the faith walk and you believe God for big things. God wants to increase your faith. We're fasting for 30 days and invited y'all to be a part of that as a church. And as part of that, God was speaking to David's heart. He wrote some stuff down and he wanted me to say it every day. So I opened my High God book and wrote it on the back page and I read it every day. And the bottom thing said, because you're fasting, you have more confidence in your prayer. You shouldn't have more confidence in your prayer when you fast because you don't earn anything. It's been dependent on me the whole time. I was like, that's good when he told me. I wrote it down, it's good. The problem is when I was reading it, I would get so far as, you have more confidence when you're fasting. And that would get me because I'm like, God, I don't have more confidence. And then he got on me and he said, no, you don't have more confidence when you're fasting because you don't have enough confidence in me to begin with. Seasoned Christian friends, we've got to believe bigger. If we allow him out of the box, if we allow him to stretch us, if we will truly believe him for everything that he has, what all does he have for you? What all does he have for me? What all does he have for our city? What all does he have for our nation? What all does he have for our children? What all does he have for our legacy? So number two is Mark 11:23. And it says, for assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to the mountain. So I say to you, whoever says, everybody say, say. Whoever says to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So number two references number one, right? Does not doubt in his heart, because you got to have faith, which means believe, but believes those things which he says, he will have whatsoever he says. He will have whatsoever he says. So the first thing we got to do is believe. The second thing we got to do is we got to say. And then the third thing we got to do, I'll just quick story. Can I have 1 second? So back when we were opening the Earth City campus, there was this inspector, and we were about 2 weeks to opening. We built out 125,000 square feet in 10 weeks, which is a miracle of God all by itself. And so we're about 2 weeks out, and we have Joyce Meyer coming to dedicate the building at our very first service, and the guy said, you're not going to be open with your temporary occupancy on that date because I'm going to fail you. And I said, well, we got 2 weeks. Tell me what's wrong. We'll fix it. It's my project. I'm like, I don't want to fail. I'm like, let me fix it. And he said, no. I'm not going to tell you to the day of your temporary occupancy inspection that day. You're not having that service with that lady. Obstacle, right? What do you do with that? Some stuff is out of your control. Your problem is not physical. Your problem is spiritual. So we're just going to say, we're going to say this building's going to be open. We're going to say this building's going to be open. We're going to say this building's going to be open. So we're just confessing it. We're believing it. We're praying it. And we're moving forward. And about a week later, it's inspection time, and the guy doesn't show up. Another guy comes. And I said, hey, where's our guy? He said, oh, he went on vacation. He was supposed to be back, but he hurt his knee. He's not going to be back for a few weeks. You know, I don't play football, but I could do the touchdown dance. And so about 8 weeks later, because we needed our final occupancy, this person comes back, and I said, man, what happened? He said, craziest thing. He said, I went on vacation, and I hurt my knee. I said, were you mountain biking? What? He said, no, I was sleeping. I woke up, and I couldn't walk. I said, well, what, did you get surgery or physical therapy? What happened? He said, no, I was in bed for weeks, and I woke up another morning, and I could walk again. God can handle our problems, friend. I'm telling you, he's got this. We have to have faith. We have to say, and then we're going to skip 24 and go to 25. Mark 11, 25 says, and when you stand praying, because you got to pray, if you have anything against anyone, what's that next word? Yeah, that's Ricketts' heart, right? Forgive, 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 forgive him so that your Father who's in heaven can forgive you. If we don't forgive them, he can't forgive us. And then we're not lined up, and we can't believe a God who we've disconnected ourselves from. Forgive means you have to find out how spiritually strong you are. And we have to forgive somebody who wasn't sorry and accept an apology that was never given. That's hard. I want you to look at two people and say, I can do it. Look at another person, I can do it. You might have to do it every morning, but you're gonna do it. And sometimes these big obstacles are moved by small steps. That's what Growth Track is for. It's to get you deeper and tell you about this stuff. That's what iConnect is for. It's to help you connect with people and have the right people. We want to go over in a giant leap, and we want God to fix everything a day. And he's like, no, I got some small steps I want you to take, but small tweaks lead to giant peaks. Amen? So we got to take one step at a time. It looks like Big Dave used to say, we called him Big Dave because we had Big Dave and we had my husband, and how do you differentiate them? So Big Dave used to say, it looks like you're going slower, but you're really going faster. It looks like, well, I just keep plodding along. I just keep plodding along. Huh, better to plod along with God than to be racing the wrong direction with the devil. With God, it could be business as usual, but with God, it could be business as unusual. Wouldn't that be cool? But there's a key. Everybody say a key. Before we get to the key, I want to tell you the promise. So let's go to Mark 11, 24, the promise. It says, therefore, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. You will. You're going to have it. You got to believe it. You got to say it. You got to forgive. Voice change, amen. You got to forgive. And then there's a key. So here's a secret key that I found. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, it says that if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting divine will and purpose, and understand the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have, listen to this part, here's how it connects to Mark 11, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains. Ooh, we know where that comes from, right? But I have not love. God's love in me. Then I'm nothing and a useless nobody. You see, friends, it's not just about forgiving that person, but it's about loving. Y'all ever been done like real wrong? That might not be like urban cool, but it was real wrong. Y'all been treated right? Come on, I want some honesty. Have y'all ever been done very wrong by somebody? There we go. Okay, I like that. Even though we've been done real wrong, and we might have to pray every day to forgive them, we don't only forgive them. I want you to say out loud, everybody write this down. Love is the key to everything. God is love. Love never fails. With God, we will never fail unless we step out of love. We will fail. So write this down. This will help fix your problem. Don't only forgive them every morning. Write down this. Say out loud, I love, and then put their name in there. Say unto the mountain. See the circle. Say unto the mountain, be thou removed. I'm going to make up some weird name. Superfluous, because it's a fake name. Just say, I love superfluous. Every morning, God, I forgive superfluous, and I love superfluous. I'm going to love superfluous all the days of my life. Say unto that mountain, believe it in your heart. Move that mountain out of your way, because that's the mountain before the mountain. That is the real obstacle. That is God working, I'm calling you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Because you might have been scarred by them and you might have been scraped by them, but do not get stuck in that place. God says in 1 Peter 2:9, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you up. That was prophetic. Right there. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you up. That's just not reading scripture. That's an alive word for this moment. God says, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you up. I'm calling you. I'm telling you right now, you feel it in your spirit. He's pulling on you. That's you. That's you. That's how you know that's me. That's you. God is calling you. He's pulling you up and you feel something. What is this that I'm feeling? It's the Spirit of God pulling on you. It's faith rising. It's hope. It's a confident expectation and a happy anticipation of a coming good. It is the feeling of spiritual weapons coming into your arsenal and your whole life about to change. It's about you becoming stronger in the spirit, and therefore you can control the physical. That is the key, my friend, to all of this pain you have been feeling and those obstacles you have been chasing. God is calling you out, and he's saying, I have something for you, friend. I have it. Trust me, believe me, and go my way. Father God, we worship you and we praise you and we thank you for your ability and we thank you for trusting in us. God, right now, there's never too late for a new beginning, and there's never a better time than right now for a new beginning. We claim that new beginning in our life, God. We claim your power in our life, God. We will operate in forgiveness and we will operate in love, and we will say to the mountain to be removed, and we will watch it go and know that you have put a two-edged sword in our arms, and we were able to remove the mountain. Because with God, all things are possible in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God a good hand clap for praise.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.